Welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition, where we keep you up to date with everything going on in the Cold Fusion community. We'll share the latest news on events, releases to engines, frameworks, libraries, and tools, as well as spotlighting quality content from the community.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition. It is April 30th. This is episode 215. Welcome, and we're glad to have you. My name is Eric Peterson, and I'm joined by Daniel Garcia. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, Eric. Quick question, buddy. I'm on the YouTube page, and I don't see it playing. Do you? It still says waiting.
I
the solutions.
Oh, blah.
Welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition, where we keep you up to date with everything going on in the Cold Fusion community. We'll share the latest news on events, releases to engines, frameworks, libraries, and tools, as well as spotlighting quality content from the community.
Hello, and welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition. Today is April 30th, 2024. This is episode 215. Welcome. We're glad to have you. My name is Eric Peterson, and I'm joined today by Mr. Daniel Garcia. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited that we're getting more into summer, and May especially being into the box month. So
that's right. Oh, thanks for the reminder. I've got 2.5 weeks to finish some things up.
So, you know, you'll start it in 2 weeks.
Maybe. Let me get through this week. This is my last semester, or my last week of the semester, and then I'll take a day to breathe, and then I'll work on it.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, we thank you for tuning in today, and we also want to thank our sponsor, Ordis Solutions, the makers of all your favorite box products. You can say thanks and give back in a few ways. The biggest right now is come to Into the Box here in Washington, D.C. next month, May 15th through 17th. You can also like and subscribe to these videos on YouTube, Star, or fork our dependencies on GitHub. Subscribe to this podcast in the podcast app of choice. You can sign up for a free or paid account on CF Casts, or go to our Box Life store, grab some awesome swag, and then wear it at Into the Box. So, finally, if you're a reading type, Ordis's books, you can pick up 102 Cold Box Quick Tips and Tricks or learn Modern Cold Fusion in 100 plus minutes.
It's funny you comment about Into the Box. It's next month. It's not next month. It's in 2.5 weeks.
And technically, we're in April and
I know,
it's in May.
Make it sound like we got so much time.
No, there's very little time.
Very little time. But also, we want to say thank you to our charming Patreon supporters. Right now, we have over 50 Patreons, and you can, of course, see them if you go to patreon.com/OrdisSolutions. And we'll talk, give a shout out to them again a little bit later in the episode.
Oh, awesome. Well, I wanted to take us through a little bit here on, in case you missed it, CF Camp has published some sessions, not all of the sessions, but some. We're going to share it on the screen for anybody watching on YouTube. So it looks like they got 20 sessions here, and they look awesome. I love the variety, like this whole Apple Maps thing. Like, I didn't even think about that, right? You're doing maps, you're using Google, right? But and just getting started with Lucy 6 and WebSockets. Have you had a chance to look through for any ones that you're interested in?
Not yet. I see the Cobox debugger. That's always a good one.
That is. And that debugger, in case anybody's not used it in a while, it's like a mini APM now. It's like, I don't know, Fusion Reactor Lite. Like, it's pretty awesome.
It is. I like the CI/CD with GitLab as well. I still feel like I got it working, but I don't always know if it's, you know, the certain ways I can do things better, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially when you basically have a server that you can run things. There's a million ways to do it, and it's nice to see people who have tried and found a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's some great stuff there. Passwordless authentication. I have been doing a bit of research into that myself for Into the Box. So there's some great things here. And this is only the first 20. So there's more coming. Some great stuff there.
Do we tell them the dates again? It is June 13th to 14th in Munich.
Yes. We'll talk about it a little bit later too. Ticket prices and all that. But wanted to let you know you can go check out those sessions now.
Okay. Well, coming up, in case you missed it, we had a couple of releases and updates. I know, Eric, these are very near and dear to you because you're the one doing them. QB had some updates to 9.8.2 to 9.10 and added a new index method for adding indexes to existing tables, which is awesome. New bindings commenter for SQL commenter and performance improvements for large record sets. And a big thank you to John Wish for that.
That's right. I find the add index method, that's part of the whole schema builder. It's just one of those funny things when you have to deal with multiple grammars, and some grammars are very happy to let you, you know, add constraint this index. And then others, like SQL Server, are like, you shall never do that. You have to do it in our syntax. So anyways, one of the nice things about using an abstraction is you can just call that method and it does it. And then for those of you wondering what in the world is this SQL commenter thing, it's actually a Google spec that adds a bunch of information to the end of a query. And I had a client who was trying to figure out, where is this code being called that's slow? I have a query that's slow, but I don't know where it was. They were logging their queries to like Logstash, but that didn't have all the information. And so I set this up. So not only do they see like the bindings that were part of that query, but they can also see the cold box action, that ran it. They can see the route that was ran, so they can kind of trace it all the way back through there. So some pretty cool stuff.
That is very handy.
Quick also just got a tiny update so that it could use QB SQL commenter. That was just a little oversight. Nothing to do except update to the latest there. Some bug fixes in the Slack provider for Megaphone. That's our notifications library. And then right now in beta, hopefully exiting soon, but we have CBQ 3.0 beta. And this does a lot of work around the database provider. It makes it more reliable, better at locking, and also keeps around the jobs and cleans them up later. So now you can go back and review those jobs and see what happened. And also, this was a fun one to figure out. It will now, when you re-init ColdBox or shut down ColdBox, it will have ColdBox wait until those jobs are finished up to a timeout before re-initing.
Really?
Yeah. So
Async
stuff in ColdBox is pretty awesome. So that's, again, in beta. Right now it's at beta 7. Just kind of finishing up some docs for it before we release it as version 3.
I was going to ask, how do you decide when the difference between a beta versus a release?
When I need someone to try it and I'm worried it might not work exactly right the first time. And as you can see, this is beta 7 and that was right. So if I'm more confident, I'll just release it. but with this one, you know, this is, we're talking about the database provider using your database as a queue, and locking is very important in those cases, right? Making sure that only ever one worker gets that record to work. And so that's what we were working on here. And the first couple times it wasn't quite right. It is now. Nice. And if you're also sitting here like, what is this CBQ thing? You should come to Into the Box because there's going to be a session on it. And it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. You know, I always thought too, Eric, not that any of us have like free time these days, we're, you know, pretty busy, but I think it'd be awesome if someday you do like a software craftsmanship series on CFCast where you kind of talk about, you know, when I build things, this is how I build them, this is how I test them, and this is how I go from, you know, concept to finish and QA to release and all that.
That's something to keep in mind. Let us know if that's something you'd like to see, everybody.
Okay, apparently I like to see that. From okay.
Daniel has put his vote in, so.
And I know I'm not the only one.
All right. Well, how about we jump into webinars, meetups, and workshops?
Sure.
This is, in case you missed it here, but the CF Summit Online, we have all the links and the YouTube playlist of the sessions. I don't know if we're going to get anything like this for the CF Summit East that just happened last week. Hopefully we do. I don't know if they were able to record those or not.
I did not. I can ask Mark Takata that. Yeah. I will do that later.
But right now, I don't have any other webinars or meetups scheduled. If we are missing yours, please reach out to us so we can get it and let everybody know.
Okay, so moving on to CF Contents, CF Cast Content. Oh, man, why can't I read today?
Because you were chosen to be on the podcast.
Probably. I think that happens. So we have some recent releases. Of course, we're trying to release content regularly, but four or three recent ones. We have an example of a dark mode implementation with Tailwind CSS. We'll go ahead and post the link there. View helpers, the ForgeBox module of the week from April 16th. We're going to post that there. And then Anima Figma Design to Code, a front-end coding assistant, was our tip, trick, and tip of the week. VS Code hint, tip, and trick of the week. I'm having issues, Eric. This isn't good. Have you used Figma, Eric?
I've jumped in Figma to see other people's like designs or flowcharts, but I've not like used it myself.
Okay, interesting. I tried playing with it a while back, and I was not, I don't know, maybe because I'm not a designer, it was not intuitive to me. But and since Adobe's no longer doing their thing with them, I'm kind of curious what if Adobe's coming up with something else later, or if Figma is just that's it going forward, or what.
I don't know. I do know, and I can tell you, my favorite feature of Figma is you get multiple people in there, right? You can all see the same board. Mm-hmm. And if you shake your mouse, you get a little hand that waves. And if you do it next to another person, they high five.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And it is great and is distracting, and they should probably disable it because that's all I want to do in the file is high-five people. Because I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy that I'm sitting here right now looking at our show notes, and I'm just like wiggling my mouse back and forth because I guess I'm fidgety.
Nice. I guess I've never used Figma with other people, just myself playing around. So,
See, that's why you don't understand how cool it is. You've never high-fived anyone.
Probably. I just like when Zoom, you raise your hand and it raise your hand for you, and it got those, you know, expressions or whatever.
Yeah. All righty. Yeah. Let's jump into talking about conferences and training. So we mentioned it, Into the Box 2024, May 15th through 17th. Next month, right?
2.5 weeks.
you'll be flying out in just over 2 weeks here. So
in two weeks exactly. In 2 weeks exactly, I'll be flying into DC.
There you go. One fun thing is we have five secret sessions on the list here.
Five secret. Hope none of them are mine, right? Is that the secret? I'm going to show up like, hey, you're doing a session. What? But
if you're wondering what that's all about, well, you got to come. You got to come see what these secret sessions are, and you will want to be there.
You will. And so I'm pretty sure none of them are mine.
Some cool things there. That's all we're going to say about it, because we're good at teasing things. So,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Five secret sessions.
Dos semanas for our friends in Central America.
Also, we talked about CF Camp, as Daniel mentioned, June 13th and 14th in Munich, or Freising in Germany. You can grab tickets right now at cfcamp.org/tickets and check out their sessions at the same time. That looks like an awesome conference as well.
That is. I think that's one of your favorite conferences after Into the Box, of course.
It is. It's a long way to get there, but it's a great conference. So
one of these years, I'm not going to be able to make it this year, but one of these years, I want to go, and my wife wants to go too, because she hasn't been to Germany since she was a teenager, and she really wants to go back. And I'm like, well, I'm in a hotel for the 2 days. She's like, I don't care. I'll go do things.
It's like, wait a minute. And finally, CF Summit West in Las Vegas. We have dates. We have a venue. This is September 30th through October 1st for the conference, and then October 2nd for the certification. And this is at Resorts World. The pricing is, as always, ridiculously cheap for a conference. Adobe is basically paying you to come once you factor in food and everything. So $99 for the conference, $200 if you want to do the certification training. Additionally, the call for speakers is currently open, and I need to go get some talks ready to submit to that. It's been a while since they've accepted one of my talks. I'm hoping I can break my streak.
Man, I don't know if I'm going to be submitting. I've got a the weekend before that, I've got a barbershop contest, and the weekend after that, my niece is getting married. And so I don't know if I could just go to Vegas for a few days, even if they did accept me, if I can just go to Vegas for a few days. And
yeah, that's fair.
So we'll see.
I always love this one too, because it's so close to me. It's like a 45-minute plane ride up and down. Like, can't beat that.
When I did talk to Mark Takata, and he's very excited about the new venue, Resorts World. Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's just north, but I have no idea. Look, because every time I look at the Google Map, it's, I get my directions missed, whatever. But it's not too far. It's a little ways away from the Mirage or the Hard Rock, whatever, the new Hard Rock, the old Mirage, whatever. But you are saying it's a hotel made more for conferences rather than a casino first, conference second. It seems a little bit flipped, where it's maybe more conference focused with the other stuff too. But he was very excited. So it's beautiful. They're absolutely excited to be there, and it'll be really nice.
That's awesome. So if you are looking for accommodations, there's a deal you can get through the ColdFusion Summit website, $105 plus taxes a day.
That's like pretty good
for Vegas. So, and then you don't have to, you know, get an Uber or walk there to have a cheaper hotel room. So,
yeah.
Most likely there's going to be an Ordis workshop coming. We'd love to do those right after. And we will let you know the details are forthcoming.
We got some time.
We got to get through Into the Box first. Let's be honest.
In 2 weeks, you say.
In 5 secret sessions.
I got to start packing. I got to. Anyway, so as always, there's more conferences. If you go to comps.tech, you can go there, find a huge list of conferences from almost any language or community. Yeah, well, are we on there?
We should. I've put Into the Box on there before. I don't know if the other ones are. Into the Box is, I do not see CF Camp or ColdFusion Summit West.
Oh man. Well, we're all responsible.
The fun thing is you can add it even if you're not the conference organizer. It's just the pull request on GitHub, and there's a form there. So you just paste in a whole bunch of stuff and then they'll add it. So
I'm gonna send this to Mark Takata and be like, you know what? We can add it for you, but I think you would probably rather do it.
he'll know where all the links are, like the code of conduct link and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into some blogs, tweets, and videos of the week. Let's be a little bit forthright here. We had a lot of Ben Nadell blog posts today. We're going to do some of them. We'll include all of them in the show notes. You can check them all out later. But we didn't want to just, you know, be a whole Ben show today. But we are grateful for Ben, too. We're going to choose the ones that we were most interested in. Starting with creating some new trim functions. I'll be honest, this is so I can tease Ben about how much he loves regex. But these are kind of cool. He was doing a code kata to make block trim, inline trim, and trailing trim functions. You really will want to take a look at the blog post, which will show you what the before and after look like for the strings, you know, with white space above to the sides below, and what each of these functions would do. So
one of these is, does he have one for like denetalize or dben code formatting, or I remember that one from years ago. I don't remember what it was called, but it was because Ben's got a very distinct way of structuring getting his code.
No, but I did see we might have now have a bonus VS Code extension because about these comments. We'll get to that later. But this is cool, and now I think we need a ForgeBox module. That's like some joke about trimming. I don't know. Somebody come up with one.
Need denadalize or nadalize? I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, so moving on, Ben's got another blog post talking about paginating the Postmark Bounces API in Coalfusion. So Ben's been doing a lot of email marketing or sending out emails, millions of emails in Coalfusion, and something he's never really done at the scale before. And so he's been learning a lot of fun things about what it takes to keep your reputation good with the mailer. And of course, one of those things is you have to process bounced requests to get them on your mailing list, because you don't want to keep sending them over and over again and keep bouncing, because one, it's going to lower your reputation, but two, you're just wasting money on sending it to addresses that don't exist. And so when you're sending out millions of emails and they only paginate at about, what, 500 bounces per request, he had to come up with some clever way to go through and process them all, because you can't just call it once. You got to call it on a, I think he said you can only read up to 10,000 bounces in a given period, and you can only do 500 bounces per request. Yeah. So by the transitive property of math, that's 20 calls.
Well, so it's a little more interesting than that, because if your from to time period was an hour, and in that hour you had 20,000 bounces, you would never know, because you can only see 10,000, even if you incremented 500 at a time.
Oh, that's,
and so they're having to choose a small enough period, paginate through those 500 at a time, and then move the period and keep moving like that. So it's double paginated.
Yeah, it's like,
or every, nested like, paginated.
Every, yeah.
So yeah, this was very interesting, and kind of goes along to how do you solve a problem like this? And he writes down like the algorithm it's going to go to, just in plain English, you know. And then and goes through all these. It's also resumable, very smart, so that if you get an error in the middle of it, you don't have to start over. You can know exactly where to send the next request. So some cool stuff. Definitely check that one out. That was, I think, my favorite from this week's or
last couple weeks. It does make me wonder, does Postmark have a way just to export the bounce list per campaign? And then you could just, you know, suck that in and read over it?
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
Because only because, you know, if you've got like a 10,000 email send, yeah, this is great. But like he's saying, if he's processing tons and tons and tons, I'd be interested to see if they've, you know, other customers have to deal with this too, right? I can't imagine they're making everyone just do the API and do what Ben's doing. But I also suspect Ben's having fun.
That's right. All right, speaking of having fun, the next one we have from Ben, dedenting text in ColdFusion, which first of all, dedenting is one of my favorite words. So this is a nice one if you ever, especially if you get annoyed with like all the white space that comes in when you're like copying text around or multi-line text, you just want it to all come back. You can use a dedent function like Ben goes through here to get rid of all those pesky tabs and spaces. That along with his crazy trim functions, you're all set. Get rid of all the spaces.
So this is what you meant by just making a VS Code extension with all of Ben's code regex.
Yeah.
And say click.
I think I said ForgeBox extension, but yeah. Yeah. So
that would be handy.
Something making fun of making a joke on trim. I still haven't figured it out yet.
We'll get there. We got time.
Clippers.
Clipper, I don't know, but I gotta say, I'm in regex is one of those things that I recognize how powerful it is, but for whatever reason I just don't grok it all the time. But if I've got examples, I'll example the heck out of it, use those. But I'm kind of in awe about some of these people that are, I think you're one of them too, Eric, that hey, I need to do a regex for this, like, oh, here it is, boom. John Clausen is also awesome with regex too. Was with them the other week and working on something. I need something for this. And like in 20 seconds, he just tells me what to type. And it just worked without even like getting up to look at what I was doing.
Yeah. Regex is definitely it feels like, what is it? A hammer? And everything, when you have a hammer, everything's a nail. Is that right?
Yep.
You can use regular expressions to solve quite a few things. reminds me of this little, I'm throwing the XKCD comic up there. Pearl problems. This guy's like, if you're having pearl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. So I use regular expressions. Now I have 100 problems.
Yeah, but to be fair, when I asked John for the help, I was in VS Code. I wanted to find and replace a bunch of stuff. And so I was using it in terms of the find and replace functions in the editor. And it was awesome.
Well, that's cool. All right. Next, we're talking about get application metadata to provide global defaults. So a few of the ones we're skipping this week from Ben have to do with custom tags. Go check those out, especially if you're interested. And this one I thought had a little bit more global relevance. Get application metadata basically gets anything that's in this scope inside of your application CFC. So you can use it to put data in there and grab it anywhere else in your application. So Ben was using this to create his own struct, put in some defaults, and then use those in his global tags.
Nice. His
custom tags. So.
And this works the same in all engines?
I believe so. I know Coldbox uses get application metadata under the hood. So it's at least good enough for that.
Heard.
And I think that's all the Ben Nadell we're going through. Again, has some on creating custom tags and some gotchas around there. And also he continues to look into Turbo CFML, which is him using his custom fork of Hotwire Turbo, which is also very much like Livewire or CBWire.
CBWire. Shout out to Grant.
Well, we got one more blog post, but not by Ben.
What?
This one by Robert Zender, who is our command box static site generator guy, talks about tidying up the HTML of statics of command box static site generator. Because again, as you know, ColdFusion, especially if you're not using all those output, like output true on functions and things like that, it can create some weird white space. Mm-hmm. And so he was looking into a few things to try to clean it up, and then landed on JSOUP, which he just took in the HTML, parsed it, and then set it back out, and JSOUP made it look great. And JSOUP is amazing. So you don't even have to do DOM manipulation. JSOUP is just a nice tool to have in the box.
I see what you did there.
I think we do have a ForgeBox extension for it. We did at one point because I made one, but I don't know if I've kept it up to date. Oh, I didn't make one. Somebody else made one. I integrated it with a testing library. But there is a JSOUP Coldbox module.
I need to check out this command box static generator as well, static site generator, one of these days. I feel like every time we talk about it, I keep saying, I need to check this out. And then like a dozen other things like pop up on my radar. And
yeah, I hear you.
What's going to happen is there come a time when this is going to solve a specific need for me, and I'm going to be all over it. But so far, I haven't had to yet.
Well, whenever I think about getting back into blogging, that's what I think, because I don't want to run a server. I just want GitHub to make it free for me.
I know, right? I've been looking at different things, too, and I'm like, yeah, we could chat sometime.
Well, let's move on to finding a job. We don't have much here this week. On getcfmljobs.com, there were no new jobs. They still are listing over 123 ColdFusion positions, though, from 76 companies and 52 locations. And again, if you are in the job market, you can also check out the jobs channel in the CFML Slack team and our own Box team, Slack team.
I thought there was one Monday in the CFML Slack for a UK-based developer. I'm looking for somebody. You can go there and check it out. And I think the week before, they were looking for somebody with experience in healthcare domain from the 21st. So definitely not just this website. Go to the CFML Slack. Check out the jobs channel. Go to the Box Team Slack. Check out the jobs channel. People are posting.
Well, let's move into our ForgeBox module of the week. This week, we're going to talk about the Elasticsearch module, CB Elasticsearch. I was surprised I couldn't find this in our backlog. I thought we'd just review it, but this might be the first time. Anyways, if you've used Elasticsearch, first off, it's great for a ton of things, especially if you need any sort of fast searching. The syntax of Elasticsearch is, how do you put it? Very, very verbose and very JSON-y. Like, you just have very nested, lots of nested JSON. And the CB Elasticsearch module, one of the things it does and does very well is give you like a fluent builder for building up these searches. Invaluable when we need to, you know, have multiple types of searches or even do an OR. That looks really weird in Elasticsearch, and this makes it a lot easier. This module also has a logbox appender, so you can send all your logs into an Elasticsearch instance, you know, and consume that via Logstash. It has a integration with CF migrations so that you can have an Elasticsearch migration for all your indexes. We use that with a client. So this really is, if you are going to do anything with Elasticsearch and ColdFusion, I highly recommend checking out the CB Elasticsearch module.
I'm trying to say, I thought we had a session on CFcast about this, but I'm not seeing it.
Or maybe one that Into the Box. We usually have something Into the Box about it.
Yeah, I'm just, oh well. Cool. Nope. Okay. You're looking too.
Yeah. Good radio. There we go. How about the hint, tip, and trick of the week?
Week.
So I'm a sucker for these. This is Excalidra, and it's not the only one that you can use, but I'm a sucker for the let me draw in my code window, because then I don't have to find another website and figure that all out. I can just open the new tab and draw my really terrible diagram and then move it back into code where I feel more comfortable.
So what would the I was looking through this earlier, and what is the purpose of doing this? What's the benefit, I guess?
Well, I do see that they'll let you have SGVs and pings as well. But for me, it was just being able to, you need to, again, draw a quick diagram. Maybe you need a flowchart for what you're about to work on. You need a, is it ERD? What's the database one for entity relationship diagram, right?
ERM or ERD, ERP, something like that.
Yeah. So any of those you can draw just right in here. Again, not the only tool, but I thought we'd highlight that one today.
Yeah, ERD, you're right.
For the bonus one, I'm going to switch to showing my screen now. I found this, and I wasn't sure if I thought it was useful. It's called No Comments, and it says remove all code comments in a file. And I'm sitting here like, that sounds, why would you do that to yourself? And their pitch is you're copying code from like Stack Overflow or AI-generated code, and you just have comments that you do not care about. And so instead of deleting it one by one, you can use this to remove, you know, a single line comment, a whole multi-line comment, all this kind of stuff. So I guess if you don't like all the comments in Ben's code and you're copying it, you can now use the no comments extension and get rid of it. Again, I don't know if I think that's a good idea, but yeah, it exists.
I think the bigger issue is, why is somebody copying that much Stack Overflow code without cleaning it up?
Or it's AI now, and they wrote a comment for the AI to write code, and then they don't want the comment at the end. I don't know. Again, not a problem I've had, but it exists.
I guess. I can understand the Ben stuff. You just trust it, because Ben's, you know, pretty known quantity, but random Stack Overflower, I'd be a little trust but verify.
that's why you have tests, right? So you can copy random code, and when it doesn't work, you're like, okay, well,
Eric, not to burst your bubble, but I think the developers that might just copy paste random overflow code might not have tests.
Hey, you know what, I copy Stack Overflow code and use AI generated code, and I have tests, so it exists. True.
But you don't just paste it and move on. You actually, you know.
It depends. Depends on how confusing it is. Sometimes when I've been dealing with like bitwise operations, I just copy that in. I'm like, sure.
Okay, that's fair.
That looks fine. We'll pretend that works.
And now we got a new beta of blah, blah, blah.
No, not quite, but yeah. All righty. Well, we're at the end of the show for today. We want to tell you about our, I forgot the word already, our charming Patreon supporters. So these are individuals that are personally supporting our open source initiatives. Toolings like Command Box, Cold Box, Forge Box, all your favorite boxes. They fund our Forge Box cloud infrastructure for all the package management in the CFML community. And you can support us on patreon.com/orta solutions. Lots of great perks as part of that. Access to a private forum on the community website and the Box Team Slack team. If you are bronze packaging up, you get a ForgeBox Pro and a CFCast subscription as well. So again, you can check that out at patreon.com/OrtaSolutions.
Yeah, we, as always, we want to give a shout out to some of our top patrons who are charming in every way. And I've met some of these people, and I can vouch for that. So coming up, we've got John Wilson with Synaptrex. We've got Tomorrow's Guides, Jordan Clark, Gary Knight, Giancarlo Gomez, David Bellinger, Dan Card, James Moberg and Jeffrey McGee with Sunstar Media, Dean Maunder, Kevin Wright, Doug Kane, Nolan Irk, and Abdul Rahim. And we have many, many more patrons. We're up to 50 now, which is fantastic. As always, you can see an up-to-date list of all sponsors on the Orta Solutions website at ortasolutions.com/about-us/sponsors. And I'll paste that link in the chat.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We hope to see you in a couple weeks in D.C.
Remember, two weeks.
Five secret sessions.
I think that actually there's still some tickets. I thought I saw a social posting about that.
Yes, you can still pick up some tickets. You can still get there. Love to see you there.
Absolutely.
All right. See ya, everybody.
See ya.
Show notes for this episode can be found at cfmlnews.modernizerdie.io, where you can also subscribe to your favorite podcast player like Spotify or iTunes. We also have the link to YouTube to find more videos just like this. The music used in this podcast is under a royalty-free license from sound.com and Blue Tree Audio.